Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally, the show is about to begin. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I, as always, am Jason Ophir, joined with my beautiful and talented co-host, one of the two, Maria Wilson Duff. How's it going?
It's going good. How are you doing?
Oh, well, we were talking a little bit before the show, and I just couldn't stop yawning. I didn't get my nap today.
I got two, so I took one for you. That's why you didn't get one.
Now, when you take naps, when I take naps, it could be an hour, it could be 8 hours. What are yours like? Are you one of these people that can take these 15, 20-minute power naps?
I have done that before, but I'm kind of like you. If I lay down and I get comfortable and I'm warm, it's 2 to 3 hours before I wake up. And if I've really been on the go, then it'll be 3 o'clock in the morning before I wake up. So... Yeah, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah, I gotta love the I think I'm having a mini stroke. Gotta love the naps. So tonight we have Andrea Perron, a returning guest, a wonderful person, great person to have on the show. We've talked to many times, but before we get to her, it looks like we have her on hold. I had what could be described as a paranormal experience just 2 days ago.
No
way.
Doesn't
happen very often.
Not you.
So I was at work. I work in a hospital that was built in the 60s and in the basement. And I think that there's no morgue there now, but the laboratory is kind of close to where the morgue was. And it was just kind of a lull in the evening. It's usually really crazy there. And I was kind of standing at the end of this counter. And if I look straight ahead, it goes to a short hallway, really short. And then it makes a right turn into this office area, and I'm standing there and I'm just kind of zoning out like I often do, looking at the floor, and I see this shadow go on the floor, like the reflection of a shadow is what it looked like, because the floor is a kind of gussy, and it makes a right turn and it goes into this little office area. And I'm like, well, that's weird, because the only other person I'm working with in that area went to lunch. And so I thought that maybe she had just got off lunch early and went back in there. And then so I was concerned enough. I was like, well, who just walked in there? And so I turned the corner and no one was there. Was it a ghost? I don't know. Was it some weird laboratory phenomenon? Possibly. But I thought it was weird.
Did you, like, backtrace and try to recreate that again to see if you could get that shadow to pop up?
I didn't, because there are other scientific professionals there, and if they were to observe me trying to conduct an investigation, they'd probably think I'm more insane than they already do.
Oh, well, I figured that might help your case for disability on the mental part of it.
Yeah. But I thought it was interesting. I don't see stuff very often, but maybe it was nothing, but I just thought it was interesting. And there have been a couple other times in there where stuff is like randomly jumped off places that shouldn't jump off, like the lens covers on the microscopes, and something popped off a counter. And I always wondered if it was haunted. I don't really get that vibe there, but it was just interesting.
Well, it's busy there. You've got a lot going on, so it kind of takes your mind off of if it was completely abandoned and you walked in and something like that happened, then that would grab your attention.
Yeah, there could be stuff that happens all the time, but, like I said, we're so busy. you don't really have time to focus on every little weird thing that happens. And I'm sure many, many people have died there over the years. So it wouldn't surprise me if some strange things go on. It was built,
definitely.
I think, in 1960.
Oh, yeah. That's plenty of years for things to have gone awry.
Oh, yeah. So, anyway, it looks like Andrea's called in. I'll get her on.
Wonderful.
Hello, Andrea.
Hi. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic.
We're
good. Doing really
so good.
I'm kind of glad that Jason's just yawning a lot instead of belching or something more disgusting like that. So.
I'm so tired.
Oh, bless your heart. Okay, well, just, you know, keep in mind that sleeping is for mere mortals. You don't qualify, so I don't want to hear any whining out of you.
This is true.
So it's been maybe a month since the last time you were on, and there's always so much to talk about. And, you know, naturally I'm going to gravitate, because you know that I've had some UFO experiences, and, you know, I tend to gravitate towards that. Have you had any experiences within the last time since we've talked to you?
Yeah. You know, for me, it's on a daily basis, so it's not, it doesn't seem paranormal to me. It's pretty normal. You know, it's not supernatural, it's natural. So as long as it falls into that category, I don't get too impressed, because it really isn't. It's not an exceptional event, nor has it been forever and ever for me for decades of my life. I mean, I had my first experience, my first conscious contact, when I was 12 or 13 years old. 13, I think I had turned 13. And it changed everything. It changed my whole life. It changed my perceptions of the universe. Everything, virtually everything, changed with what I saw in the skies over our old farmhouse. And I didn't even tell my mother or anybody in my family for quite a while, because we were already dealing with, you know, fourth dimensional entities. We had our hands full living at the farm, and I just didn't want to complicate matters further. And quite frankly, it took a while for me to literally believe my own eyes. It did. It took a while for it to sink in what I had actually seen and how it shifted my personal paradigm decades before this was a topic of discussion that could be shared in polite company. So it's been a long and arduous journey for me in many respects, and in other respects, it's been the light of my life and a beacon of hope for myself and for the future of humanity. And I adore them, and I'm so grateful to them for coming, and the relationships that I have with them, even though they might seem to be in some ways, you know, a non sequitur, that there's some kind of cognitive disconnect in that we do not get together for tea and things like that. You know, I mean, my relationship with them is quite different. But it's no less meaningful to me than any relationship that I have with another, you know, a mortal, a human being, somebody on this planet. But they are here in numbers that people, I don't think most people would be able to wrap their mind around. And that will come in time. Yeah, it will come in time. And when it does, it will be truly what I titled my new book, A Wonder to Behold, because they are absolutely wonderful and full of love, and they cherish and respect us. I don't even know how, you know, I look around this planet and I don't even know how we deserve that, but they adore us, and they're here to help us simply by making their presence known to humanity. And eventually, we will come to an understanding that we are not alone in the universe. We, capital W, capital E, will come mm-hmm. to an understanding that we are not alone in the universe. And that will change everything on this planet. So I get up every morning. They're the first thing I think about, my galactic family. They're the last thing, they're the last ones I say goodnight to when I finally do lay down to go to sleep. And as I sit here, I'm with my mother up in Georgia right now, my mother and my sister Christine, and I've been here for about 3 weeks. And I've been working, I just received the final proof on my new book. And as I go through it, I almost have this out-of-body experience, like, did I write this? And when did I write this? And how did this come to pass? And you know, what happened here? I mean, I was instructed to write this book. This was not on my agenda last July when I began writing A Wonder to Behold. And I wrote the main body of it in about 3 weeks, and then another 3 weeks to edit it and clean it up and add what I wanted to add. And my experiences kept coming and my memories kept coming. And I finally got to a point where I said, okay, enough now. I have to stop with this. This has to go out into the world now. So I started producing it, working very closely with my layout designer and my publisher. Because they must hate me. They must hate me. I mean, I have to send them flowers when we're all done with this, because I am so neurotically meticulous in terms of the way that I put my work out into the world. I think that my readers deserve the very best of me. And so it takes an extraordinary amount of time and effort and diligence to do it. But I have left no stone unturned in this book. And I have gone places that I never thought that I would go. It is a supernatural memoir in the truest sense of the word. So that's what I'm doing right now. It should be out as soon as it's 11:11. Well, at least here on the East Coast it is. And I have a cat sucking my earlobe off. Percival, honey, okay, I love you.
Somebody
too.
Loves you.
I love you too. Oh, my God. I don't know if you can hear him purring, but this cat is just like sliming me. Here, all right, get off. He's,
I have one that does that. And
well, he has this affinity for my chest, I guess is the best way to put it. Well, we call him Boob Boy. So that might give you some idea about how, you know, he just has this thing for well-endowed females.
Jason,
which means
that's a
that...
cat after your own heart.
cat sounds a lot like me.
Yeah, he's I know. He's a very handsome boy, he is. I think he's an extraterrestrial too. I really do. If you saw his eyes, you would believe me. He doesn't look like
Andrew,
he's of this world.
There are a lot of experiencers that have a hard time wrapping their minds around what they're going through. And it's one day their life is normal and it's simple and they're doing their normal life things, and then all of a sudden they have this tremendous experience they cannot wrap their mind around. And there is not a lot of help for people like that. It's, you know, not everybody will stand up and go, oh yeah, I'd see that, because they're labeled as kooks. That's just the society that we're in.
It is. And I think once you get to the point where you don't care anymore what anybody else says about you is when you find your bravery, your courage to stand up and speak your truth. But you really have to get to that point where you just don't care, where it's more important to you to speak your truth and to share what you've seen, what you've experienced, what you've witnessed, and what you've encountered. is more important than what anybody thinks about it. And that's where I am.
How did you heal yourself?
I don't even think that it was about, I didn't feel wounded. If that makes any sense, I didn't feel wounded. I didn't feel like I had been infringed upon in any way. I didn't feel as though I had been hurt by my experiences physically. I was never hurt physically. I've never had an encounter either with spirit or with extraterrestrials that was anything other than pleasant. So, you know, there were issues that happened in our farmhouse where my mother was physically attacked by a spirit that resented her. My sister Cindy was attacked in that house. I was not. I was really the one that recorded everything. I chronicled the events that happened in the house over the 10 years that we lived, in the same way that this book chronicles my entire lifetime of extraterrestrial engagement, conscious contact. And I think that in sharing what I have, and some of it is quite literally unbelievable. I tell people right at the very beginning of the book, use your power of discernment. What resonates with you? If you read something in this book that sounds too incredible that you can't, you literally can't wrap your mind around it, put it aside. You know, you can think about that later. You know, pull a Gone with the Wind thing. I'll think about that tomorrow. You know, because it's really more about opening your mind to the possibilities that exist in the universe. It's really much more about our engagement with each other and coming to love each other at a higher level, so that we are we come to a realization of oneness, that everything is one thing, that everything is energy, that we are all living, breathing examples of source consciousness, of what some people call God or Christ consciousness, that love is the answer to every single question and the solution to every single problem. You know, when we get there as a race, then we will make our spiritual ascension, and what people think of as something relegated and off, away and separate from ourselves, i.e. the fourth dimension, the fifth dimension, and beyond, they will suddenly be able to see as well. And when that occurs, the whole world will change, and change in immeasurable ways that we cannot even comprehend at this point. But we're getting there.
What about people that have experiences that report it being unpleasant or traumatic? How?
I'm sorry. I know that some people do report that, and I know that there are not all the races that circumnavigate this globe necessarily have our best interest at heart. Some of them are just scientists and or artificial intelligence. Most are humanoid, but not all. And I've never had any unpleasant experiences, and I don't let anything dark anywhere near me, nor will the light beings allow anything dark near me. You know, Whitley Strieber went through some very difficult contact, as did Travis Walton, as, you know, other friends of mine as well. It doesn't happen nearly as much anymore. The reports of abductions are down significantly. And it's because, and it's not because, you know, people suddenly don't want to talk about it anymore. It's because the numbers are really down, because the light beings that are very protective of us have let it be known that they want that kind of activity to stop on this planet, that we're not fire ants, that we're living, breathing, sentient beings who feel pain, who are emotionally and psychologically harmed in traumatic events, and that we are to be handled delicately and gingerly. It's very complicated and convoluted, and It's hard to keep up with current events in the cosmos. Let me put it to you that way. There's an awful lot that's changing right now very rapidly. And there's a great influx of energy that's coming to this planet. And therefore, consequently, the changes are rapid. This is the paradigm shift. None of us should, you know, delude ourselves into thinking that it's anything less significant than the transformation of humanity. That's what's happening right now. And I get to be a very small part of that. And for that, I'm deeply grateful.
Is there a
hierarchy?
Oh, go ahead, Maria.
No, go ahead. I liked your question.
Oh, I was wondering if between these beings, you know, is there a hierarchy between them? Like between the grays and the light beings, or are there like...
No.
Overlords?
No, I wouldn't say. No, I wouldn't say so. Not in the way that we think about it in terms of, you know, how we structure society on this planet. It's not the same. There are there's actually a great deal of interaction and cooperation between them. And that's good. That's how it should be. Maybe we could learn something from them in that respect and in many respects.
I don't like the idea. Oh, sorry. Go ahead,
there's
Maria.
So much that goes on. There's so much that goes on that we see. On, of course, the news is horrible. So
yeah,
the way that
horrible.
A lot of people, this whole thing is the life that we're living is good versus evil, and evil is disguised. And a lot of people have been brought up that to talk about God or Jesus or anything that makes you a kook. So you don't hear a lot of people talking about the light or the way or how to be a positive human.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't necessarily espouse organized religion. I consider myself a recovering Catholic some 40 years now, but, there's a you know, quantum leap of difference between being religious and being spiritual. One
yeah.
has virtually nothing to do with the other. I no longer edit what comes out of my mouth regarding anything. If somebody asks me a question, they're going to get a point blank answer based on my personal experience and my elucidation of the facts. And so, therefore, I don't have to worry about how they're going to react because that's none of my business.
That's good.
So I just speak my truth. I just tell it.
Yeah.
You don't like it, don't
that's
listen.
We need more people like that.
That's what I was going to say. Need to be more people like that.
Well
in the book, I even
worry about what people think about you. Then, and that you're speaking your truth, then life, it does get easier.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not, you know, everybody's got an opinion to express about everything. All I ask is just read my words, read my experiences with an open mind. That's all that I ask. If you're going to pick the book up, then, you know, approach it in a way that expect the unexpected, expect to be shaken up and waken up in ways that you didn't expect.
I think when I turned 40,
it's...
I stopped caring what people thought of me. I just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Some people think I'm a weirdo and I'm okay with that.
Oh yeah, I am. That's about the best compliment anybody could give you. It is.
Yeah, when
it
you're
is.
Outside the norm, it's great.
Well, you know, the norm's not all that it's chalked up to be.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing to be proud about or wear as a badge of courage. You know, it's to me, you know, I look at what's, you know, normal on this planet, and what I see is a lot of fear-based carbon units running around trying to take power from each other when none of them have any power essentially in the first place. It's an illusion. It's a delusion. And so, there is an eternal battle of good and evil. We live in duality. And even though that is something that is, these are conceptual notions and intangible, we see physical manifestations in form of both of these concepts on a day-to-day, moment-by-moment basis. And it is our power of discernment that we interject into our interpretation of events that helps us to decide whether or not we're going to cross over to the dark side or live in the light. I mean, it's a decision that we each make consciously and subconsciously on a day-to-day basis. So, once you start thinking big picture and start looking at the world with, our old reality with new eyes, it changes everything. And we're not so judgmental about each other anymore because, I can't think of anything, not anything, that would affect the human race more than having our galactic family show themselves simultaneously all over this planet. It's the only thing that I can think of that would make people drop their weapons and suddenly come together as one race. But they won't do that. And the reason that they won't do it is because they want, it's almost their own Hippocratic oath, first do no harm. And by their own estimation, approximately 60,000 people or more would just drop dead immediately from seeing them. And they don't want to harm any life form on this planet. And so, therefore, they will not take that course of action, and it's up to them. I mean, the ball is literally in their court. They're the ones who decide who sees them, how we see them, how we speak about it, and they basically put this information out to those of us who I don't know if we are necessarily chosen or if we have some kind of a genetic predisposition toward them. I think that's probably the case, but I don't have the answers to that. None of us do. All I do know is that there are some of us who are communicated with regularly, that are alive and well on this planet, and that we have a job to do, and that is to disseminate the messages that we receive. And I take that job very seriously. If you knew how many hours I put into preparing this book for its entry into the world, you would understand my level of personal commitment, because it would be literally impossible to add up the accumulated time that has gone into this to make it as brutally honest and as lovingly safe as it could be for people to read. And anyone who has ever had a sighting, an experience that they cannot explain, knows that there's something, our mortal existence, and knows that we are not alone in the universe, this book will give them not only tacit approval of their own experiences, but it will also give them the courage to speak their own truth. Because if I can put what I put into the leaves of this book, then anybody can stand up for anything that they've ever experienced with bravery in their hearts and speak and tell what they have experienced without fear of any presumed retribution, any presumed blowback from society. It doesn't matter what other people think. And the truth of the matter is that anybody that has done any kind of research or informed themselves on any level regarding this subject, if they just open themselves up to this shift that is occurring, then they will become as well part of the solution rather than being part of the problem of what's going on this planet. We are perilously close to self-destruction, and they know that. And they're very concerned, and they've come from every corner of the universe in droves. And as I said earlier, in numbers that most people could not conceive of. So this is our time. The time is now for us to stand up and to speak out and to make it comfortable. You know, as Marianne Williamson wrote, as we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. And so this is my opportunity to make my presence known in the ufology community and beyond, so that this is a place of respite and solace in the pages of this book that will resonate with anyone who has ever had an experience that was absolutely inexplicable and that changed every aspect of their lives. And now when they read this, they'll know they're not alone, not by a long shot.
Do you think if we ever get to a point where we are going to, you know, destroy ourselves and the planet, that they would ever intervene in that, or would they just let us all, you know, kill each other?
No, I believe in my heart that they would intervene, but I also think that part of their intervention is already ongoing. It's simply by being here, you know, by the millions of us who know of their presence. You know, there are countless millions of people around this globe that have had experiences that have altered them in fundamental ways. And it's really not about the experience. You know, anybody that shuns pessimistically or even cynically shuns anyone who speaks openly about their experiences, I look at them with pity, because they're terrified that we're telling the truth. They're terrified. This is about being fear-based, and there's nothing to fear here. Believe me, with the advanced technology that these races possess, they could have had us for lunch millennia ago if they wanted to claim this planet as their own. That is not their intention, not at all. They want to lift us up and give us hope and do whatever is necessary to stop us from killing each other and killing this precious planet that we live on. And we are running out of time. Hold on just a second. Hold on just a second.
Okay.
Who won Best Picture? Green Book won Best Picture? Oh, my God. I was watching the Oscars with my sister. And then 11 o'clock came up, and I was like, I knew this show wouldn't be over before I had to start my interview. I'm like, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, they always run after 11.
When are we going to get an alien-themed movie that's going to get Best Picture? That's what I'm waiting for.
Well, you know, we already had one of the very best films on the subject that's ever been produced ever, and it's called Close Encounters of the Third Kind. It's virtually a documentary. You can watch that film as a documentary. It's based on true facts, and it is the only thing about the film that is not accurate. Is that the exchange which occurred did not happen at Devil's Tower, Wyoming. It happened at Area 51, but it did happen.
Yeah.
I just watched that the other day. That's funny. And it's such, I mean, for being such an old movie, it's just utterly fantastic. It's just one of those movies you can't stop watching. You don't get bored of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's brilliant, and it's beautiful, and it speaks about love and cooperation and mutual respect, not about fear and loathing and blowing our planet to smithereens. That's not why they're here. That's not why they came. They came because we started blowing our planet to smithereens. They came 77 years ago when we started blowing up hydrogen and atomic bombs. And because we live in a multidimensional universe, while we're doing damage here on planet Earth, we're also creating damage elsewhere in the universe. And all of a sudden, as the Honorable Paul T. Hellyer, the former defense minister of Canada, said, they looked down on us and said, oh, no, the children are playing with matches.
That's right.
And they came to stop us. Yes. And the way that they can stop us is to educate us and to enlighten us and to make mm-hmm. their presence known to us in safe, peaceful ways so that we are not afraid of them because they are our family too.
I know you've heard of several instances where nuclear missile sites,
mm-hmm.
When they were manned, that the military that was surrounding that would see lights, and then, of course, everything started shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
And all the power would leave, and it would be off for a while, and then the lights would disappear out of the sky, and, of course, all the power would come back on.
Mm-hmm.
So they were letting them know. I mean, they ultimately have control.
Yeah.
If they wanted to flex their muscles. But they leave us alone. And I don't think a lot of the governments realize that.
Well, I think that our government is filled with brilliant scientists at the upper echelon, so far above the level of top secret security. There's 35 levels of top secret security above the very temporary position of president. Thank God. I'm grateful that we've got so many brainiacs working on this, but that for them to withhold this information from us, I find unconscionable. I consider it a crime against humanity. And it doesn't matter, you know, how much I complain and pump my fist and demand official disclosure. We had official disclosure in December of 2017. We had official mm-hmm. disclosure through the Department mm-hmm. of Defense. Totally circumvented the White House. They learned about it at the same time we did. And everybody went mute. Everybody went mute across this entire country, across this entire globe. You know, it should have been the only thing that anybody was talking about, and instead nobody was talking about it. It was in all the national news feeds, all the mass media picked it up and ran with it, much to their chagrin, I'm sure, when the New York Times broke the lead story. And then we all forgot about it and went back to watching Happy Days or something. I don't know. I don't understand it. It's like somebody... One of the men in black took a really huge, big, flashy pole thing and just snapped it, and everybody forgot that we've had official disclosure of the alien presence on planet Earth. Yeah, okay, yeah. So that's big news. And mm-hmm. it was treated as that, you know, I don't know if people just read it and said, well, you know, finally, or, you know, oh, that's fake news, or, you know, I mean, I don't even know. First of all, we never had fake news till we had a fake president. That said, I will move on to the whole notion that we don't really have any control over this. It doesn't matter. I've stopped screaming about our government because the galactic family wants us to just forgive and forget and let them off the hook completely. Absolve them of all responsibility for all that has been withheld and move forward. You know, and I have trouble with that. I have issues with that because, you know, I want to demand some accountability. And yet the way they feel about it is this all happened exactly the way it was supposed to happen. And complaining about it and whining about it and being angry about it doesn't do anything to them. All it does is make you sick to your stomach. So stop it. You know, but then there's that other part of me, that very Libra justice-minded part of me that's like, you know, I mean, people have died to keep this secret. You know, this has not been, you know, all touchy-feely, lovey, you know, like this has been, people have died to keep this secret. Their families have been threatened. People have disappeared. You know, this is serious business. You know, human lives were deeply affected by this, countless lives. We'll never know how many lives. You know, if you listen to Colonel Corso, if you listen to Stephen Greer, if you listen, I mean, these people, you know, Steve Bassett, I mean, these people know the history, Nick Pope knows the history. Richard mm-hmm. Dolan knows the history. Chase Klutzke knows the history of the lack of disclosure and why. And so, you know, I'm kind of between a rock and a hard place about that, because really I would like some accountability. I would like people to be held responsible for withholding this information, the most critically important information in the course of all recorded human history. And a handful of people have all the information at their disposal, and the rest of us are kept in the dark because we're being treated like little babies and spoon-fed pablum, one little tiny morsel at a time, because that's they treat us like, you know, that's all we're going to be able to handle. That's all we're going to be able to absorb. Well, maybe that is true for some people, but I don't believe that it's true for the vast majority of people. I think that the three letters UFO have virtually 100% universal recognition, global recognition. When you say UFO in any country in the world, people know exactly what you're talking about.
That is,
you know,
true.
But they can't name who the last vice president of the United States was. You know, so I look at it this way. We're getting ready. We're getting ready. And this whole ruse that came out of the Department of Defense in December of mm-hmm. 2017, that was, I made a video about a week later. I put it up on my YouTube channel, and I described it as, you know, feeding us, giving us a snowflake on the tip of an iceberg as big as Antarctica. You know, it was a deflection mm-hmm. technique. Nobody walked into the Pentagon that morning and said, let's today be the day that we tell the whole world the truth. Absolutely not. This was well planned, well coordinated, and it was a deflection technique. Because it happened, it tells me something much bigger is coming.
They have to give us, they have to feed us crumbs and have to put it just a little at a time before we can take the big bite for everybody to understand.
Yeah.
Or we would, a lot of people would be in just complete chaos. I mean, they would absolutely, it would be awful. The looting, the rioting, everything. So, yeah, they just little bit of a disclosure here, there, and the other place. But then they blow it off. But it was just enough mm-hmm. of a seed to plant into your head to make you understand, yes, that this can happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we do have a caller
on,
been holding for a while. Are you open to take any questions? I'm not sure who it is. The number's all ones. I have no idea. We'll see who it is. Caller, who's this?
Yeah, hello, dear. This is Mike. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Okay.
Fine, thank you. I'm great guest you have as well. Can you give me her name is? Because I know her name. She lives in Florida, if I'm not mistaken. And her mother also in Georgia was deceased recently. I have read about her, but I just don't recall it. Can you give me your guest name?
Yes,
please?
Mac. My name is Andrea Perrin.
Yeah, Andrea, yes, you're the best, yes. You know, are you familiar with Iranian Air Force UFO intercept in 1976 when radar and visual sighting and identifying flying object UFO over Tehran, the capital of mm-hmm. Iran, during the mm-hmm. early morning hours of 19 September 1976, during the incident, two F-4 Phantom jet intercept supposedly lost instrumentation and communication as they approached, only to have them restored upon withdrawal. One of the aircraft also supposedly suffered temporary weapon system failure while preparing mm-hmm. for open fire in there. And we know exactly it was a UFO, as you mentioned. Everybody, they know about the UFO incidents around the globe. But, yeah, that's true. They don't know what's Donald Trump.
You know, the thing that really blows my mind. Yes, go ahead.
I was saying that, you know, that as you mentioned earlier, that if you ask American when this country, beautiful country, born, they don't know yet. I mean, what are the Bill of Rights? They don't know that.
Right.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, there are so many incidents that occur and have occurred around the planet, and yet I find that human beings have a marked tendency to compartmentalize information, and we just want to, want to live normal lives in a paranormal universe. And so they have a tendency to discount or dismiss even things that they see with their own eyes. They don't even believe their own eyes, because it's easier to dismiss it. It's easier to just write it off as some anomaly, or, you know, something was playing with my sight, or, you know, it was the sun, or, you know, there's 1,000 different reasons that we seem to be able to instantly manufacture to explain away otherwise inexplicable events. It's just going to be a matter of time before so many people have seen this kind of activity in the skies that it can no longer be dismissed as an anomaly or a hoax or a weather balloon. It can no longer be dismissed. And that's where we're getting to now. That's where we're arriving at now. This is a pivotal time in the course of human history. I feel a tremendous sense of urgency about it. And I really appreciate that you called in and that you brought the listening audience's attention to that particularly significant event, because a lot of people knew about it, not just military. But it was also at a time in Iran where, you know, this was not spoken about. It was a time of particular political upheaval in Iran. Not any really different than it is now. It's been, unfortunately, a country that's had sustained political upheaval for a long time, which you can say the same thing about the United States, too. But all of this is happening for a reason. All of this is happening for a reason, no matter how distasteful or how upsetting it is. This is the opportunity for humanity to set a flamethrower underneath the cauldron of the toxic soup of the behavior of humanity, and what is evil rise to the surface to be cleansed away. And that's what's happening now, and that's why the exposure of so many evildoers around this planet is coming to the surface now, to have a white hot spotlight of our attention thrust upon it, so that we can make decisions about what kind of world we want to live in. I look at the upheaval in Venezuela right now, where you know, where Maduro is keeping food and medicine from his own people and dancing on a stage celebrating the burning of trucks, trying to bring it into their country to help the people that are starving and dying in hospitals that don't even have electricity. And he's celebrating the fact that all these provisions are being destroyed at the border. That is evil. That is pure, unadulterated evil. And yes, it is geopolitical, but it's also exopolitical.
Because
all
of
this has to happen.
Oil. Any country has oil will never have happiness. We'll never have a democracy. We'll never see, you know, all the time what they say is dictatorship into dictatorship into dictatorship. You know, when we threw out 1953, Dr. Mohammad Mossadegh, Iran. I mean, he was elected by the will of the people. But then, I mean, we brought the Shah of Iran back, but Shah was very good to citizens. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, it's like, you know, killing some people, you know, which is they think that are leftists or belong to different fractions at that time. But then they kick out the Shah. Then the rise of Khomeini. And when Khomeini came, Khomeini killed almost 1 million people, hanged or shot to death.
Yes.
So,
mass slaughter, genocide.
Right. So then why is that? Why do people go crazy? I mean, why people, for example, did not like the Shah of Iran and to let him to, you know, killing some of his misconceptions or something, whatever, and work with him is much more easier than to somebody that he born in India. Khomeini was born in India. And then went to Iraq for 15 years by the Shah of Iran. They put him into, said, we don't want you in Iran. Go ahead, Iraq. And then he came to France, the MI6, CIA, and French, you know, helped him to reach in on Iran. Now they come here. Now they say, oh, they're making a nuclear bomb. Oh, my gosh. Our cities are in danger. We have to nuke Iran. You see what happens? This happens all the time. Can you tell us why?
Well, let me comfort you if I possibly can.
Sure.
And I will tell you that the messages that I have received, some of which have been very profound, and one of them is, you know, Jason asked earlier in the broadcast tonight if they would step in and intervene in our behalf, on our behalf. The Pleiadians will. They will do whatever is necessary to make sure that there is no nuclear war on this planet. And that comes from them, directly from them. The Pleiadians are light beings. They are filled with love and light. And they are humanoid, but they're also very mystical in their appearance. But they care very deeply and love us very deeply, and they are not going to let anything like that happen. I'm sure you're also aware that there have been visitations around all the nuclear states, and that by last count, about 25 or 30% of the nuclear warheads around the world have been deactivated. It might well be a higher number than that by now. That's kind of old news. They're going to intervene if they must, but they don't want to. That's the thing. They want us to rise to the occasion. They want us to rise to the paradigm shift and to understand that we are all in this together. All of humanity is in this together. We are on the, you know, a pivotal point of a crisis in this world, and not just geopolitically, more so, you know, leaders, so-called leaders come and go, but what we are doing to our planet and the destruction that is being rained upon this precious rock hurling through space will be irrevocable if we do not stop what we're doing, and that includes complete stoppage of use of fossil fuels on this planet. Stoppage, not winding down over the course of 50 or 60 years, but not using oil and not using coal and not using anything that is not a renewable source. We've got a sun, for God's sake. We've got a sun that will, you know, read Nikola Tesla. There is electricity in the air that can be harnessed and can be disseminated and dispersed all over this entire planet for free.
Absolutely.
For free. It's the warmongers and the money hoarders that are keeping this technology hidden away. We already have it. We have it at our disposal. It is being surreptitiously hidden for use across this globe, because nobody can yet figure out how to make a fortune off of it. That's the only reason why it is not at our disposal, is because they haven't figured out how to harness it for their own wealth and profit. That's what's got to change. We have to have a crisis of conscience before we have a change in our fundamental trajectory.
Absolutely, right. Indeed. And my question is here, why they have put chemtrail on us except for country, Iran, North Korea, Israel, and Cuba? Why except this four nation we have chemtrails? Why can't they stop the chemtrails and give us Medicare for all?
I agree. I mean, I understand exactly what you're saying.
You know how much billion?
They can.
It's $1 trillion. $1 trillion,
yes.
Dollars of fuel jets plus the chemtrail. Oh, my gosh. It goes to some amounts that
I
cannot even calculate.
I know.
I mean,
well,
that
know,
would be put spent back to the people of the countries of the world. Free education plus Medicare and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a much more better position. Everybody will be. I mean, which Australia are European. They have a Medicare for all, even
I know.
Queen of
we'll get there. We will. Have faith. Don't lose hope. You know, I have great faith in humanity. And I know that what's happening now is so that people can see what's really been, you know, the crux of the matter for so very long. And we are in the midst of a shift in consciousness that is sweeping across this globe almost like a tidal wave. You just watch and see the difference that the world is in 5 years versus where it is right now. We are learning. We're a slow study as a race. We're a slow study. But we are learning, and we are beginning to accept that the status quo is no longer functional for us, that we must literally change our mind about what kind of world we want to live in and how we want to live together in it. And that process is well underway. So have faith. Don't lose hope.
Well, thank you for calling in.
I appreciate you. Thank you very much, Jason. Thank you, everyone.
You're welcome.
Until next time. Thank you, Andrea. Too.
Yes.
Yes.
Take care, sweetheart.
Have a great
night. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You
care.
Too.
So what was
I hope I answered his questions. You know, I hope that I got to the crux of the matter with him and his questions because, you know, he is absolutely right, Jason. You know, when you look at the history, just recent history, modern world history within this last 70 or 80 years, it looks like we're on a trajectory toward complete and utter self-destruction. But exactly the opposite is true. So what we need to do is just all hold hands and love each other and embrace each other and just hang tight and, you know, brace for impact because what's coming, including the disclosure of the existence of the galactic family circumnavigating this globe, what is coming will be earth-shattering, but it will also be earth-saving.
It sounds like it's what I'm reminded of when we talk about this and the changing of the consciousness, and it's kind of coming down to the wires, like a football game. You know, there's seconds left, and somebody's got to throw a Hail Mary across the field.
Yeah.
You know? But it,
yeah.
I mean, I hope that it changes. I just don't see how. With everybody is so consumed with money and power, or what they perceive to be power. I just don't know how on a on a global scale that's just going to change. I don't know if it could change before we destroy ourselves.
No, it will. It'll change. Our destiny is not to self-destruct. It's not. We have too much to offer. And there are too many people on this planet that are good and kind and loving and pure of heart and want nothing better, nothing more than to have their children find a better life than they've had. And that's the motivation and that's the intent. And if we want to each do our part to raise the vibration of this planet and to heal the wounds of this planet, then we need look no further than ourselves and get very quiet with deeply within ourselves, which is where all of the answers are. And when we latch on to that wavelength, when we cup that frequency, when we raise the vibration and hold the intention, just by simply doing that, by holding the intention of what kind of world you want to leave to your children and grandchildren, that alone is enough to move and motivate the vast majority of humanity. And when that all occurs and that sinks in and we're well on our way, once that occurs, then we will have our complete total spiritual ascension in play. And once that occurs, religion will no longer matter because all that will matter is the self-awareness that each and every one of us is a living, breathing embodiment of the consciousness, the source consciousness that created all of us. That's the awareness that we must achieve.
And hopefully it happens sooner than later. Well, I see that we're running out of time. Where can people know if people want to get some of your older books? And is this new book, it's not out yet, right?
No, I'm working on the final proof right now. I'll be turning it back into my publisher in a day or so. Then they'll make any changes that I want. They'll send it to me for one more round of revisions. So I would imagine it will be probably on the market within the next couple of weeks.
Very cool.
Be wonderful.
And if any of the listeners out there that maybe haven't listened to you in the past on the show, is there a way to contact you? What would be the best way to communicate with you?
Way to reach me is on Facebook. I have 5 pages. I have my personal page, Andrea Perrin. My fan page is called The Buttercup Brigade, where the good deed doers, and the rose-colored glasses wearers. Also, you can, if you want to know exactly when the book is going to be published, I will announce it. The minute it goes live, I will go to my page, A Wonder to Behold, and I will post the information there first. So that's the best way to find it. Or you can find me on A World Awakening, or you can find me. I'm all over the place. Anybody has to do is just Google my name and then take their pick of where they would like to contact me from.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Thank you again. It's always a great pleasure to have you on the show. And just the positiveness that you talk about is fantastic, because we live in a sea of negativity. And thank you again for taking the time to come on tonight.
Oh, it's my pleasure entirely. And please give Sherry my love. Maria, it was lovely to spend some time with you. I'm sorry there seems to be a little bit of a delay. And so I think I talked over you a couple of times, and for that I apologize. It was a wonderful and a spirited hour of important discussion, and I appreciate very much the opportunity to share my point of view with your listeners.
Absolutely. It's very enlightening. Thank you again.
Thank you. Have a great night.
You too.
Okay. Bye.
Well, I hope.
Oh,
that
wow,
the,
Jason.
Yeah.
That was great.
You know, I've always been kind of a pessimist, and you know, I know there's good people out there and there's good people doing good things, but maybe my pessimism is a result of because the media just tends to report negative things, and maybe there is a lot more good, but I truly hope that consciousness on this planet raises and we can become more unified. But with everything going on, man, everything that's reported in the news, I just don't know. We're so money-based and greed and ego. And I don't know.
Well, we are. And, I mean, you think about it. I mean, I know you have said something about that you have spring water. But, you know, the majority of us, we have to pay for our water. And that is such a basic source. We're having to pay for something that is in our backyard, and all we have to do is go get it. But it's like you said, it's a power-ridden, money-hungry world, and we have to pay for basic services that we should never have to pay for. But I guess that's why people like you and I are just introverts, and we try to stay away from the negativity.
Yeah. Try to
live in our own little unicorn world with rainbows and sunshine.
I'm looking at a unicorn and a box of unicorn cereal right now.
Oh my gosh.
That's crazy.
Lucky charms.
See, no, this is actual. Well, I've had that too. I'm not a big cereal eater, but I think I've mentioned before. People at work have gotten the impression I'm obsessed with unicorns, and I'm not. So I keep getting unicorn stuff. People bring me unicorns. So it was just 2 days ago, somebody brought me unicorn gummies and a unicorn plastic thing that you wind up and then it starts walking, you know, but it's filled with candy. So then it has like unicorn poops coming out as it walks. Actually, it's more like unicorn diarrhea because it's just crazy. But
that is awesome.
You mentioned, I know, it's pretty funny. But you mentioned water, and I wanted to say one thing, which is really irritating. There have been some cases up here in the Northwest, because I'm in Oregon, where people have been fined and gotten in trouble, threatened with arrest, maybe even arrested for collecting rainwater. And other people, you know, creating ponds, you know, so that they can sustain themselves. And, of course, the government doesn't like that because they don't make any money.
Exactly. So they threaten you with the basics that you need just to survive a day with, like, jail. I mean, come on. It's rainwater. It fell from the sky.
Yeah. It's
incredible. It's also sad that we allow that to happen. We are so afraid of what is going to happen to us or our family that we stand back and we let this thing. Fear works really well, and the government knows this. That's why you have so many people that speak the truth, whistleblowers. They are killed. And they just disappear, and nobody hears from them again. So that's why a lot of people keep their mouths shut. And I'm really glad that Andrea talks.
Or people will have a
she gets it out there.
Yeah, she does. People will have an accident.
Yes,
you know,
the brakes will go out.
Freak accident. Well,
yeah.
I guess we are out of time, so I guess we'll close her out. I want to thank everybody for listening, unless you have anything else to add.
I'm good. I hope everybody tunes in next week as well. It'll be wonderful.
Absolutely. We'll see everybody next Sunday, PM West Coast time. And if you haven't already, give us a like on Facebook, Paranormal Horizons on Facebook. That page is popping. Mainly thanks to Sherry and Maria. Although, if you've noticed, I've gotten more into posting memes. So
you have. Your unicorns are great.
Hey, I don't post just unicorns. It's funny. What I've noticed, you know, obviously the, you know, posting just ridiculous, silly memes that have nothing to do with the paranormal. At first, I was kind of on the fence about it. But because since we started to do that, there's a lot more people joining the Facebook page. There's a lot more people sharing and interaction. I can't even open up my face, you know, my own Facebook, because it's just loaded with notifications, which is good.
Yes, it's wonderful. Anything that gets people's attention, and hopefully they'll start listening and sharing with their experiences with us. We want to hear your paranormal experiences. Write us. Send us something, Messenger. We want to hear it. We love to share it.
Absolutely. Well, with that, we'll see everybody next Sunday. Hope everybody has a safe and optimistic and positive week. And we'll close her out. Good night, everyone.
Good night.